Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Acts. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoner stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
A reading from 1 John. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandment abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Over the past several years, many have pointed to a mental health crisis. Some have noted ways that the crisis falls heavily on youth and young people. Technology allows for constant streams of information about peers. Sometimes the technology, and especially social media, opens space for constant barrages of bullying, of disrespect, of abuse by peers and others. Sometimes the technology also allows young people to support one another, to support their peers in times of crisis, of pain, of sorrow, of loss. Certainly, moments of celebration get wrapped into this environment. One might recognize that people, and particularly young people, can connect more than ever, more consistently than ever. The technology of earlier generations, well, limited connection to times of physical presence or times when the phone line access permitted contact. And those phones, connected by wires or hung on the wall, they kind of limited where. They tended to live in public spaces in the household. In the midst of all this connection, the Surgeon General has identified an epidemic of loneliness. So many do not experience themselves as seen by others. Certainly some of this continues age-old patterns of adolescence figuring out their identity, and so often feeling the need to say to adults in their household, "You just don't get me," or "You just don't understand." Add on to all of this the ways in which any number of populations do not feel seen, whole or worse, honored or taken seriously. Consider Black women, as I've heard in a discussion on NPR this week, whose experiences of childbirth includes disproportionate risk of maternal mortality. They describe medical professionals and others not taking seriously their pain, their sense that something is not right. One member noted also this week that many people, particularly people in rural settings, see their way of life, their way of understanding, threatened by the emerging social, economic, and political power structures. This list continues on and on. Carolyn Lewis of Luther Seminary notes that the gospel reading today concludes a chapter and a half long story. With the exception of Passion Sunday and Good Friday, when we read all of the Passion narrative, and Easter Vigil, when we read several long pieces of Scripture, the church does not read lengths of Scripture of such substance. Indeed, she notes that this long story gets divided across two lectionary years and across multiple seasons. One effect of this distributing the story across so much time in more manageable pieces shows up in the sense that the origin of the story stands orphaned from the conclusion. Today, the church hears the conclusion. In short, we don't see the man born blind who started the whole episode. The gospel, according to John, has a particular pattern. Jesus performs a sign. Jesus then teaches about the meaning of the sign, and then Jesus hosts a discourse interpreting that sign. With orphaning the final part of the interpretation from the sign itself, preachers and listeners alike can grasp at a whole lot of things. One might also imagine the story, or Jesus, or even the blind man exclaiming, "You just don't get me. You just don't see me." Lewis reminds the preacher that this starts with a man born blind hearing Jesus. He follows the voice of Jesus, washes in the pool of Siloam at Jesus' command, and he gains his sight. And with his sight and through this experience, he gains his life. He becomes part of Jesus' flock and recognizes the identity of Jesus. Of course, what we don't talk about in this moment is that he also was thrown out of the synagogue because his attesting to who Jesus is was blasphemy. Ultimately, he witnesses, he attests to the identity of Jesus. In short, Jesus sees him. Jesus gets him. Jesus responds to him in his need. The story has so much more plot twist, but as Lewis notes, the question remains today: why listen to Jesus? The answer remains: the blind man listened to Jesus, gained abundant life, and became a sheep of Jesus' own fold. In a time when kings and rulers failed to provide abundant life for so many of the poor, the sick, the unseen, a time when kings and rulers were often identified through the metaphor of shepherds, the good shepherd, Jesus, sees, heals, and leads to belonging. As the body of Christ, this church holds continuing responsibility to see those who experience the weight of their location, whether it stems from their health needs, their social or cultural situation, the economic reality. This church first attends to their needs as best we can. More so, this church sees them and leads them to a sense of belonging. While we are not Jesus, and communities of faith too often fail, Jesus remains in the midst of the gathered community, working healing, wholeness, well-being, offering abundant life, and inviting each one into belonging. Jesus makes even the outsiders members of his own flock.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.